We'll read in Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 14 this evening, for the sake of time. Isaiah 7, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want to consider tonight the name of Emmanuel. What does it mean to us when we hear the word Emmanuel? Ahaz here in this passage heard the name Emmanuel, and it did not affect him very much. If we see and we read further the history of this passage, the name Emmanuel speaks hope. It means, as we read in Matthew, God with us. Emmanuel speaks hope. Someone has said that if you could convince a man that there is no hope in this world for anything, that he would eventually curse the day that he was born. Such we saw in Job's case when he was so low and all hope seemed to be gone, that his wife told him that he should curse God and die. His friends did not help his cause much either. But Job still had hope, for he himself declares that he knows that his Redeemer liveth. And he had hope and believed that one day he would see the Lord stand upon the earth. Hope for all human beings is an indispensable quality of life. Years ago, there was a submarine that was rammed by another ship and it quickly sank to the bottom of the ocean, and the entire crew aboard the submarine was trapped. Not many people know what took place over the hours as they waited for rescue, as all the various ships that were nearby in the ocean raced as quickly as they could to the scene. During those hours, the crew were trying to keep as much oxygen as they could as their submarine was filling with water. And one of the divers that came to the rescue of the crew heard very faintly, as he listened for any signs of life as he came to the submarine, some knocking in Morse code. One of the men was knocking and asking if there was any hope. That is, if you like, the cry of all humanity as they ask, is there any hope? Is there any hope in this world for man? That cry is heard all over the world. John Wesley exclaimed upon his deathbed that the best of all is this phrase, God with us. We celebrate this time of year, as much of the world does, the birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the hope of mankind for the world. We know from the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world, for salvation. This evening, I want to take a look then at how people viewed Emmanuel. I have three questions I want to ask us tonight. How did Ahaz view Emmanuel? Secondly, what did Emmanuel mean to Matthew? As we will read also in the first chapter of Matthew in a few minutes. And then finally, I want to ask us tonight, what does Emmanuel mean to us? What did Emmanuel mean to Ahaz? If we consider in verse 14 here the sign that Isaiah prophesies to him that the Lord was going to give him, it was that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and she should call his name Emmanuel. Ahaz in the scripture, if you know of the history of Ahaz, was a very evil man. He was known to even sacrifice his own children to false gods. We read here this passage and this prophecy in a scene of despair in Ahaz's life. The superpower of Assyria had risen, and they were just as evil and cruel as Ahaz was. They were known as among the cruelest of empires that were ever among the earth. And Ahaz is found with his hope dwindling for survival. All the nations of the world had lost their hope already around Assyria. Israel and Syria had already joined together in a confederacy and an alliance. They too were struggling with how they could survive this coming force that they saw coming. And they came and they approached Ahaz with a proposition that Ahaz, the king of Judah, should come and join with them. And those three nations should stand together against Assyria to survive. Their proposition was, join us in a coalition against Assyria. And yet Ahaz, being the man that he was, considered this and he considered that. He moved his pawns back and forth upon his chessboard, you could say, to see this outcome and that outcome, who he could play, what would be to his best benefit, and was waffling back and forth on this decision that was placed before him. He was fearful of whatever outcome he would take. In the meantime, because of his waffling on this issue, Israel and Syria decided they were going to depose him as king because they saw he was not going along with them. And they were going to place a king upon Judah's throne that would join them in their assault against Assyria. And so here Ahaz hears the news. He's fearful. And Isaiah is sent to him with a message of comfort from the Lord. Even though he was an evil man, he was the king over the people of God. There was still a remnant in the nation that believed. And Isaiah took this message of comfort to Ahaz. Ahaz, who was trying to see this and that outcome, was told to trust in the Lord. To ask the Lord, he was challenged of a sign to show that the Lord would indeed do what he said he would do. Isaiah said, Ahaz, if you will trust in God and place everything in his hands, then God will take care of you. Isaiah also told Ahaz then to test God to prove it. But Ahaz, who was a proud and sinful man, refused. He went his own way, trusting in his own wisdom. And as the story goes on, he turned around, and rather than making a treaty with Israel and Syria, rather than leaving his fate to the hand of the Lord, whom he had been commanded to trust in, he turned and he joined with Assyria in an alliance. And he ended up having his treaty with Assyria broken. This passage tells him this word of comfort, that the Lord himself would give him a sign, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be Emmanuel. If Ahaz would have ceased to try to control the nations of the earth and allow God to control, he would have seen the peace that the Lord had promised would come upon the land. Even though Ahaz refused to listen to the words of the Lord, God indeed did not withdraw his promise to the country of Judah. God indeed remained faithful to his people. There are many who do take different interpretations on this passage. It is believed that an unnamed child indeed was born in this time, that this child was raised up and in the physical sense here did deliver Judah. Others believe this passage indeed speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew tells us that it does. God left this promise with his people. He still signified that even though these things were happening to them, that God was still going to be with his people. But Ahaz's response to this prophecy was that he did not care. He was not concerned with the Lord. He was not concerned with who Emmanuel was and what that name was to mean to him. And he went and he aligned himself with the enemy of his country. Judgment was executed on his house and on Israel and Syria. Isaiah indeed was looking for Jesus Christ, God, in his own day. The sign was sent, and Ahaz refused it. But an opposite response was also seen by Matthew. We read in his gospel in Matthew in chapter 1 that the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. We begin reading in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Matthew. We read that while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. She shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel is mentioned only three times in the scripture. Twice in the book of Isaiah, and here in Matthew 1:23. In Isaiah, we see that this child would be born that would give a sign that the presence of God would be with his people. We read in Matthew 1:23 that this child is born. And his name is interpreted that God is here with us. The big arrows of Isaiah's passage point to the coming child, Jesus Christ. And as Matthew records in his gospel, as he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God is there with them. Matthew's Emmanuel is named as Jesus Christ. Emmanuel to Matthew was seen as Savior, while Ahaz refused to take his thoughts and his care and to trust in Emmanuel for his salvation in his day. Matthew accepts Jesus as Emmanuel. Jesus Christ was his God and his Savior. The child that was born of the Virgin Mary, who was there to save him from his sins. He saw and believed the very living form of God that was with him as Emmanuel. That God had kept his promise. And God was there with him. He believed. And to Matthew, Emmanuel became his Savior. He saved his people. He saved Matthew from their sins. And consider then too tonight, who is Emmanuel to us? Two responses that we've briefly seen in the scripture to who Emmanuel was when presented to them. Prophesied to come in Isaiah. In Matthew, he is seen, and in the Gospels, as being here. He is now here, a Savior who is coming again, second time as a judge and a king. He came into the world we wrought to save sinners. Ahaz could have looked for him for his deliverance. Ahaz could have found the sign that the Lord would give him and placed his trust in God to save him from the predicament that he found himself in. But he didn't. To him, God essentially meant nothing. Here in Matthew, Emmanuel, God with us, is God being given to man? What does Emmanuel mean to you? Does his name speak Savior? Or will you reject him with Ahaz and the majority of the rest of this world? We've been given a God here with us in our flesh that provides everything that we can need or that we can want. God indeed came and he's able to empathize with us and sympathize with us. Do we not love the representation of him that we see in the scriptures? Many people fix their minds and their attention on pictures and idols because they want to see something. Our God is invisible. And yet, through the eras of time, as men could not see God, they were unable to direct their spiritual affections toward an object. And I say this thing very reverently, that God, even in sending Christ to man, stooped down to our level. God became an object. Matthew was able to see him. He became substance that we might touch him, hear him, worship him. He took upon himself a human form and gave man everything that they wanted in God. And yet when we got God in flesh with us, the world rejected him. Did not men get tired of worshiping invisible things? We read in Romans that they had changed the image of God into a corruptible thing. Jesus Christ, who was sent to this world, is the express image of his Father. If we could take a picture or a photograph of God, it would look like Jesus, who was the living form of God. And yet when men saw him, they shut their eyes to him. They had wanted to see God, but when they saw him, they shut their eyes and they refused to acknowledge that glory that shined from him. Do we want to converse with God? We were given in Christ a priest, one who would speak to God on our behalf. And yet man rejected him. Emmanuel has come into the world. God did not send an angel. He did not send anyone else but his own Son. He sent himself. He sent Christ as a God-man who would personally know what we feel and what we go through, that he might empathize with us, comfort us. Matthew saw him and handled him and saw that he was his Savior. What will you do with him? Benjamin Moorfield said, as we close the message tonight, that the glory of the incarnation is that it presents to our adoring gaze not a humanized God nor a deified man, but a true God-man, one who is all that God is, and yet at the same time all that man is. And that means this, that we have one on whose almighty arms we can rest, and to whose human sympathy we can appeal to. We were given God, who came here to us to fulfill our every need, to be our Savior. If God is for us, who can be against us? Ahaz had rejected his Emmanuel. Matthew, representing believers, accepted Jesus, his Emmanuel. What will you do as we consider that God is here with us? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these things that we can read in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a great Savior. You kept your promise that Christ came to this earth, sinless, a man, yet God. We thank you, Lord, that anything that we needed that we could relate to you, we've been given in Christ. We thank you that he is who he is, and we pray that we would accept him, we would trust in him for our salvation. We would not look to those other nations around the world or other gods or kings to deliver us, but that we would place our trust in you. We pray, Lord, you give us a heart of belief, that we would truly rest on Christ alone for our salvation. We pray now that you would bless the rest of the time here tonight as we go to prayer. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.